The men of valor will be putting notes in your hand in just a moment. One of the devious tactics of the wicked one is to talk to you about delay. You need to be born again, just not yet. You got some living to do first. You need to believe God for healing, but you're not really ready yet to believe God. You need to possess God's presence and power, but at some future time in your life when you're more mature and more studied in the Word. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And understand this. God has something He wants to do in you today. Do not allow the wicked one to continue to prolong God's work in your life by telling you down the road, someday, one of these days. No, today is your day. Today is the day to receive His abundance. Today is the day to receive His overflow. Today is the day to possess the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I want you to say something. Today, my new life of power in the anointed Redeemer begins. From this day forward, I am fully the redeemed of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The purpose in His coming, the great I am, is to be your focus in times of need, want, distress, or infirmity. The great I am. The great I am. Moses, in embarking upon bringing deliverance to the children of Israel, which theologians will tell you was a type and shadow of the born-again child of God coming into possession of God's promises in fullness, was going to encounter many things. There would be attacks, mental, spiritual, physical, emotional, financial. There would be attacks upon attacks. And so in preparing him, God said, there's one thing you need to know about me, Moses. I am. That I am. Well, which I am? That I am. I am that healing you're going to need. I am that victory you're going to have to sense when you stand in the face of defeat. I am that empowerment when you stand in front of the witches and warlocks and you have to meet them one-on-one with their lying signs and wonders. I am that manifestation. When you face the lack of water, I am that water that you need. When you face that lack of rain, I am that rain. When you face that army that seems to be insurmountable, I am that victory. Well, Pastor, sure would be nice to be Moses. Gail, he ain't no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he'll do for another. So he is today that I am. Now, some people have stumbled over that when God said, Moses, I am that I am. And so they get strung out because if you just move a comma, it takes on new meaning. But you got to remember, the Bible was written without punctuation. So every time you see a comma, a colon, a question mark, all that was put in there in contrariness to God's Word. God said, don't add anything to it, don't take anything away. But some well-meaning people decided, you know, one day Judith is going to read this and she's going to need a comma here so she doesn't misunderstand. No, I am that I am. Means this, whatever you need, whatever day you need it, He is that. Because He said you can ask anything. One translation says, and if I haven't made it yet, I'll make it for you. Why? He's the God of creation. He said, light be, and Shazam. He said, tree be, and tree be. He said, man be, and man be. Now, a God that can speak mountains into existence can fix your bank account. But only if you believe He am that I am. A God that can speak your physical form into completion with the intricacies of miles of veins, thousands of nerve endings, a brain that could communicate with your fingertip, flesh that could sense not only heat and cold, but the presence of good and evil. Because He said you can train yourself to where your flesh can sense good and evil. A God that can do all that can fix a headache, the flu, cancer, anything and everything. But have you decided that He am that I am? Now, Pastor, you're inarticulate today. No. I'm making sure that my phraseology is such you can't forget it. He is whatever it is that you need. And so He said to Moses, I am that I am. I am that healing. I am that victory in battle. I am that direction in the wilderness. I am that peace that passes all understanding. I am the hope that surmounts the obstacle you're facing. Amen. Do you know Him as that I am? Especially if you have never faced that before. Pastor, this is a new that. I've never had anything like this before in my life. Well, isn't it wonderful to know that before that arrived, that was what you need? The great I am is to be your focus in times of need. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Isn't it wonderful to know that the only thing you need is focus? The only thing you need is focus. The prophet's assistant looks out and goes, holy mackerel. Or maybe he said a word that began further up in the alphabet. We are surrounded. Look, there's armies everywhere. There's no escape. We're going to die. You know, you can really get a prayer meeting started after somebody tells you, we're going to die. They're coming for our hide. And what did the prophet say to him? You need to focus. Daddy, open his eyes and let him see what's really out there. Because that I am has got that army covered already. Why? Because He am that I am. So when you need an army, there's angels. Can you see Him as your source, your supply, your success, your strength, your ever-present help? Or do you see Him as a distant deity someplace far off that you've got to get His attention? He didn't say to Moses, if you can get my attention, if you can articulately present your case to me and I think it's worthy. No, He said, whatever it is you're about to encounter, Moses had no idea that he was in for 40 years of hell on earth. Not only did he face enemies without the camp, he was going to face greater enemies within the camp. If you can see him as Lord, as your Lord, the conquering Son of God, raised triumph from the dead, you can rise up into his triumph. You see, the devil wants you to see your bill, your sickness, your grief, your sorrow, your need as yours. I know this ain't mine because it don't fit. This ain't my sickness. This ain't my lack. This ain't my debt. It don't fit. I'm on a course to win. This looks like a losing garment. It don't fit. The devil wants you to see God as a distant deity, James. He's off in the netherworld. And if you pray really hard, a really hard prayer, you might get his attention. But he is an ever-present help in time of need. In other words, I don't have to get him on the spot. If there's a need, he's already there. Do you get that? Ever-present help in time of need means there's not a need that can arise in my life that he's not there, but I have to focus on him rather than on the need, because if I focus on the need, I can't see him.
That's it. Yes, sir. Amen.
How many of you have ever been to a range to do shooting? The secret of shooting is every firearm comes with a sight. And to make sure you handle that sight properly, it has a sight at the end of the barrel, and then back up at the magazine area, it has a V. Now then, to properly sight the weapon, I place the front sight in the center of the V, and then put that over the target. And when I can see this more clearly than I can see the target, one more time, there is an I am at the end of the barrel. There is a V for victory at the magazine area. When I can see the I am in the victory and I put it on the problem, then all I have to do is pull the trigger and the problem is dealt with. Because I see the sight that I'm fixed upon. Fixing your eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of your victory. When I see him on sickness, when I see him on lack, when I see him on fear, doubt, and I see his triumph. But the devil wants to keep you from focusing on his lordship. And so we have silly religious things like, did you get saved? No, I did not get saved. I got born again because I entered a new dimension of life where I am his and he is mine and we are one. If you can see him as Lord, your Lord, the conquering Son of God, raised triumph from the dead, then you can rise up into his triumph. If he was raised from the dead, I was raised from the dead. If he was seated at the right hand of God, I was seated at the right hand of God. In a few weeks, we'll be dealing with water baptism or water immersion again. And I keep telling people, water baptism is not a ritual of the church. Water baptism is something, not something you do to prove that you're a part of the church. It is a public testimony of your identity in the death, burial, and resurrection of your Lord, and that you come out of that water to live in a newness of life, not just saved, but a new species of being. When I see him in victory, in triumph, seated at the right hand of God, and I focus on him over the problem, the problem's got to go. Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you know what that verse should mean to you? Well, Pastor, I can't get to God without going through him. No. He didn't say, I'm the only way to the Father. He said, I am the way that you need to go. I am the truth you need to understand. I am the life you need to live. No one comes to the Father except through me. Through the I am life, the I am truth, the I am way. When my eyes are on him, his victory is my victory. His truth is my truth. His life is my life. And I don't come to the Father with needs. Did you get that part? So many people are trying to come to God with the need. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. I cannot bear these burdens alone. Well, shut up, fool. I don't come to the Father with I'm sick. I come to the Father with his stripes I was healed. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, not through, Daddy God, I need help. God, I need some food. I need some groceries. I need some clothes. I need a car. I need healing. I need... No. You can't get to the Father with your needs. You can only get to the Father with his answer for your needs. No one comes to the Father but through me. But I've got to see the victory before I can see the answer. You are my healer. You are my provider. You are my source. No one comes to the Father. And most of the prayers prayed in the church are trying to get to God with their need. He said, remind me of my word. His word doesn't talk about your need. His word talks about his supply. But we want to bring our need to God. Lying preachers will tell you, Judith, if you can just get your need before God. Why would you want to bring to God what the devil did in your life? Why would you want to bring to God what the devil is doing in your life? No. If you want to get to God, bring what Jesus did for you to God. Then you and God can celebrate the accomplished victory on your behalf. The Aramaic Bible, in plain English, Yeshua said to him, I am the living God, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to my Father but by me alone. But by me alone. Not me and your need. Not me and your hurt. Not me and your want. Me alone. He and the Word are one. So I don't bring to God sickness that's challenging my covenant of health. I bring to God, Father, I thank you that with his stripes I was made whole. I want to celebrate around your throne His triumph on my behalf. I want to praise You for the life He lived for me. Now I can enter into that life because He won in it. Amen. Jesus says to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father unless by me. I am the key to entering into the Father's presence. And I am that I am healing. I am that I am prosperity. I am that I am salvation. I am that I am life more abundantly. The Phillips translation says, I myself am the road. J.B. Phillips, the New Testament in modern English. I myself am the road, replied Jesus, and I am the truth and the life. No one approaches the Father except through me. If you had known who I am, that I am, you would have known my Father. From now on, you do know Him, and you have seen Him, because I do what He do. I be who He be. I am what He am. Our Redeemer is for us what we are incapable of being for ourselves. No. Our Redeemer is for us before the Father what we are incapable of being for ourselves. He is our healer when we can't heal ourselves. He is our peace when we can't make peace. John 10:10, the Taylor translation. My purpose is to give eternal life abundantly. Beck says, to the overflow in them. God wants His life overflowing in you. His life is a healed life. His life is a redeemed life. His life is a victorious life. His life is a more abundant life. His will for your life is to win every time. Do you realize that? God doesn't want us batting 200. And God is not a Dallas Cowboy. He doesn't wait till the last 2 seconds. And then this week, another team comes along and says, if the Cowboys can do it, we can do 2 touchdowns in 36 seconds. We haven't done 2 touchdowns the whole game, but we can do 2 in the last 36 seconds. Well, to the world around me, Roy, it might look like I'm pulling it out in the last 2 seconds of the game, but I win. But thanks be to God who occasionally leads us in triumph. But you got to see Him in victory or you're off target. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us spreads and makes everywhere the sweet fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Pastor, what does that mean? When Demetrius knows Him as healer because he was healed, he spreads the news and makes known all around him the testimony of God's healing. When God pulls your bacon out of the fire and pays your bills, that knowledge gets spread around. When your life is challenged by something you in the natural could never handle, and God gives you the victory, you spread that testimony around, and the knowledge of God increases as people begin to know Him as your victory, as your healer, as your supply, as your grace, as your peace, as your abundant provision. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph. And through us having triumph, knowledge of Him is spread and made evident everywhere. And people come to know Him as that I am. But to God be the thanks, who in Christ ever heads our triumphal procession. But to God be the thanks, who in Christ, the anointed Redeemer, ever heads our triumphal procession. It's not just about Barry winning. It's about Barry and every one of us winning, because it's a procession of triumph. It's not me and Jesus got our own thing going. There's a whole lot of people in this triumphant parade. And by our hands waves in every place that sweet incense, the knowledge of Him. By our hands we spread the news that His Lordship has identified with me again. From the Life and Epistles of St. Paul by Cunny Bear. Now thanks be to God, who leads me on from place to place in the train of His triumph. Now we all know what a train is. We see a bride walk in, and behind her there's a train. And that train on the bride is to depict the victory of Christ coming out of the grave, leading behind Him a procession of those who had died in their sins and in their transgressions and in their humanity, but believing in God and in a Redeemer that would come. And that train followed Him. The Old Testament said before that God entered the temple, and when He did, there was a presence, an angelic host that followed Him, and His train filled the temple. Well, God's got a train big enough for you to climb on and ride in His triumph. On any and all issues I face in life, I have victory, triumph, when I focus on Him, Yeshua, Redeemer, triumph over that issue. He is Lord on my behalf. I've got to see Him as healer. Why do you think the Bible so implicitly and explicitly explained again and again, with His stripes you were healed? It was prophesied in Isaiah 53, with His stripes you are made whole. It was promised in Matthew 8:17, Himself bore our infirmities on the tree, and with His stripes we are made whole. And then it was given as an after testimony of grandeur in Peter, and with His stripes you were made whole. Why did it emphasize it again and again and again? So that you would always see His victory as your victory. It didn't say, and His stripes made healing possible. No, it said, with His stripes you were made whole. If you identify with Him, then you identify with His victory. Water baptism says, I identify with His death, burial, and His triumphant resurrection. I am now one with Him. Your water baptism doesn't stop under the water in paying the price. It stops coming forth in victory, having won over death, hell, and the grave. J.B. Phillips, Romans 10:9. It is the secret of faith, which is the burden of our preaching. And it says, in effect, if you openly admit by your own mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and if you believe in your own heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be brought to health, safety, soundness, wholeness, and deliverance. For it is believing in the heart that makes a man righteous before God, and it is stating his belief by his own mouth that confirms his salvation. Father God, because He is healing, I am healed. Because He is life, I am life. Because He is triumph, I am triumph. That confirms His salvation from any and every problem of life. And the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. I don't have to worry about God not answering. People have asked me many times, how did you know to stand during those times when you were facing death and sickness? Because either His word is true or it's not. If His word is true, then I'm going to celebrate with His stripes I was healed. Because by celebrating that as truth, it becomes my truth. Today, what truth do you need to celebrate? My God supplies all of my need according to the living standard of heaven. With His stripes I was made whole. I can do all things through the anointing that infuses me with divine ability. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. What I am promise do you need to celebrate today as your promise? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives peace. The world gives peace how? Cessation from conflict. How does He give peace? Power to stand in the midst of the conflict and not be affected by the conflict. The 20th century translation. The message of faith. If with your lips you acknowledge the truth of the message that Jesus is Lord over that thing and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you shall be saved. On any and all issues I face in life, I have victory, triumph when I focus on Him. Yeshua, Redeemer, triumph over that issue. He is triumph over the issue that's pending in my life. He is Lord on my behalf over that lie that's trying to encumber me. Can you see Him being raised in triumph over sin, sickness, disease, grief, sorrow, lack, separation from God, the curse of Adam's fall, everything that opposes abundant life? Can you see Him being raised in triumph over it? For a moment, let your imagination take hold. He's laying flat of His back in hell. On Him is the demon of sickness, disease, lack, need, sin, grief, sorrow, pain, discomfort, abandonment, isolation, separation from God. All of these are piled on Him. It's like He was caught on the 10-yard line with the ball and the other team just all piled on. And then in that moment where there's that mass of demonic adversity piled upon Him, God says, again, thou shalt be unto Me a son. And they fall helplessly off of Him as He is raised up and the demons fall from Him. Unable to hold on to Him, He instantly becomes Teflon and they can't cling. Can you see that happening? Can you see your sickness falling off of Him? Can you see your poverty falling off of Him? Your separation from God falling off of Him? See Him come up in triumph. That's the testimony that comes forth every time someone is water baptized. Death and all of its evil cohorts fall off as you come up out of the water triumphant. See Him that way. On any and all issues I face in life, I have victory. I have triumph when I focus on Him as Yeshua, Redeemer, as triumph over that issue, as Lord on my behalf where that issue is concerned. At times in our lives we struggle due to not focusing on His lordship over all that opposes us. But I've got to see Him winning over it for me. This was my fight and He won it for me. Then He handed me the trophy and said, here. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. When I have a knowledge of God as being my I am, I've got peace. When I have God as being the source of all life, all hope, and all strength, I have grace. And when I see the Lord Jesus as being raised triumphant, then I get grace and peace multiplied in my life, because the way I see them is the way I receive grace and peace. When you know what He did for you, you will know who He is in you. Living in my belly right now is resurrection life. Living in my belly right now is abundant, miraculous, supernatural financial supply. Living in my belly right now is peace with God. Living in my belly right now is citizenship in the kingdom of God. Living in my belly right now is triumph over all that will oppose me in life. All I got to do is focus. The Lord, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord is my shepherd, my guide, my caregiver. I shall not suffer lack nor come up short in any situation of life, because when I see His Lordship, I know He won over everything that tried to defeat me. He won over hell and every demon thereof. The answer you need is in the person of the anointed Redeemer, who is seated in triumph at the right hand of Jehovah, Lord of hosts, where you have boldness to enter in to all He has done for you, won for you, made available to you through His word to you. It is written, "My God shall supply all of my need." All I got to do is focus on Him through the victory that He's already won. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Your sonship was lost, but He found it for you. Your health was lost, but He found it for you. Your peace was lost, but He found it for you. Your fellowship with God was lost, but He found it for you. Your wealth was lost, but He became poor that you might become rich. He found it for you. Your dominion to rule and reign in life as a king and priest unto God was lost, but He found it for you in His resurrection. Have you surveyed your new covenant to understand why your Lord came to earth? In a coming message, we'll share with you. I challenged you a few years ago to find every reason in the New Testament that says Jesus came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to do the will of the Father. He came to destroy the works of Satan. Some of you turned in lists. Some of you forgot about it and never did. But I have a list of over 20 things that the New Testament says He came to accomplish. In a coming message, I don't know whether it'll be Wednesday or Sunday, we'll be sharing with you why He came to earth on your behalf. But you need to survey the new covenant and find out. When I found out He came to seek and to save that which was lost, well, what was lost? Well, when Adam fell, all of the promises of God were lost. But He didn't come to seek and save them that was lost. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. There is victory in seeing His Lordship. From Psalms chapter 89, verse 15 through 18. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. What joyful sound, Pastor? He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. O Lord, they walk in the light of Your countenance. You see, when I see Him as Lord, and I know the joyful sound of triumph He is risen. That I'm in the light of His countenance because God is continually beaming with the glory of the triumph of His risen Son. In Your name they rejoice all the day. What is His name? Redeemer, Anointed of God, Yeshua. What is His Father's name? Jehovah, Lord of hosts. I'm in the hosts He's Lord of. And by Your righteous they are exalted, because He won in the resurrection. I'm exalted to be seated at the right hand of God. For You are the glory of their strength. You see, my strength in time of sickness is, with the stripes I was healed. My strength in the time of lack is, my God supplies all of my need. My strength in the time of accusation is, He will never leave me and never forsake me, even to the end of the age. And by Your favor, our horn is exalted. What horn is that speaking of? What horn is being spoken of? And by Your favor, our horn is exalted. How are You known? You see, if they sound an uncertain note, how will they assemble for battle? We don't sound an uncertain note. Well, I need y'all to pray. The devil's been after me this week. No, no. My horn says, He is my peace. He is my grace. He is my ever-present help. He is my salvation. He is my life. He is my strength. My horn is exalted because my horn has become the horn of His triumph. And when I sound it, it reminds me of His victory. For our shield belongs to the Lord. Our shield belongs to the Lord. What is our shield? And above all, the shield of faith. It is written. Our shield belongs to the Lord. How do I know my shield will be able to stand against every fiery dart? Because it belongs to the Lord. And it represents His lordship. Therefore, it extinguishes every fiery dart of the wicked one. And our King to the Holy One of Israel. My King, Yeshua, is the Son of Jehovah, Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. But my Lord is the Lord of them that believe. Church, today, can you see Him when you're targeting sickness through the victory of His resurrection, and you defeat every foe, because there's no one that can stand against the powder that's in your horn? Father, we've delivered Your word to Your people. And Father, the eyes of our understanding are opened as never before to see You in Your lordship, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave, triumphant over sickness, disease, and infirmity, triumphant over grief and sorrow, triumphant over every lie of the wicked one, triumphant over everything that would oppose us in life, triumphant over everything that would separate us from Your holy presence. We are the redeemed of the Lord, and we decree, I'm redeemed from that. No matter what that is, if it's unlike God, I'm redeemed from it. I am free from it. Victory belongs to me because I'm seated together with the anointed Redeemer in heavenly places, in a position of triumph. And when I focus on You, everything else has to fall from view. Father, thank You that Your word is equipping every person under the sound of my voice. to having done all to stand. Stand expecting that I am to accomplish that victory that I am in need of. Father, to your people I speak blessings and grace. I curse the lives of Satan arrayed against their mind and spirit and body, and decree that all the fiery darts of the wicked one fall far from them, for greater is he who is in them than he who is in the world. I thank you that you are our strength, our life, our hope, and our salvation, and we shall lack no good thing, because your lordship underwrites our victory and ensures our triumph. And the people said, amen. This day I call you the blessed of the Lord. I decree that you are blessed in the city, in the field, in the basket, in the store. Everything you set your hand to prospers. The God of all peace directs the course of your life and guides you to his abundant provision. His word ensures your victory. His word annotates your triumph and brings you to the appointment of his precise moment of inflicting upon you the victory that was won in his Son. You will come short in no good thing, but in everything you will demonstrate the glory of the risen Lord, for you are risen with him in his triumph. And the people said, amen. There are ministers waiting to stand in agreement with you. Whatever passage or promise of God you're standing for, they're ready to stand with you in agreement. You are the blessed of the Lord. Go with God.